Matthew 26:36. Then comes Yahshua with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he says to his disciples, "Sit here while I go yonder and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and severe troubled. Then says he to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Remain you here and watch with me." And he went forward a little and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he comes to the disciples and finds them sleeping and says to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away except I drink it, your will be done." And he came again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. What a sad commentary of Yahshua's disciples. They fell asleep at the time when he needed them to pray and support him the most. Truly, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We must learn from this lesson and overcome the weakness of the flesh through the strength of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. The title of the sermonette this morning is Turning Weakness into Strength. Again, just to look at this passage, this is one that is very moving and one, of course, that we don't consider enough. Yahshua going to the garden, his final prayers being said before he began his passion, his sacrifice, his suffering, before he was taken. And if you read on, you see how that they came for him right after this, as Judah Iscariot gave him the betrayal kiss, and he was taken away to be put to death. That put into motion a series of events that led to the death of our Savior and ultimately to his resurrection. The disciples, of course, were like you and I. They were in the flesh. They were people who were just people. And we understand that due to the flesh, that many times weaknesses of the flesh appear. And Yahweh has a way of turning weakness into strength. And that's a lesson that we can learn even from looking at this passage. Those who are motivated by the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh and put forth the extra effort will grow spiritually stronger when their flesh is put to the test. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at some of the words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul probably did more than any single person, of course, other than our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. He did more to promote the good news than anybody else. And you can read in his letters, especially in the epistles to Corinthians, of how he sacrificed, how he was beaten on many occasions, and the things which he went through. And all that he went through gladly for Yahshua. He always had a good attitude. But we find here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as he mentions something remarkable, because at the beginning of this passage, he speaks of one who he's speaking of himself, who heard things, as it says in verse 4, how that he was caught up to paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. The context shows that undoubtedly Paul probably heard or was given the same revelation that was given to John the Apostle. But in the case of the Apostle Paul, he was told not to write it down. Truly, he was a very spiritual man. He was a man who loved Yahweh. He was a man who served Yahweh. He was a man who continually labored without even becoming weak and slow, he speedily worshipped Yahweh and served him. If we drop down here to verse 7, it says, "And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted over much, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much." Now, there's some question among the commentators of what it actually means, this thorn in the flesh. Whether it was a physical affliction, whether it was individuals, as this can also be construed either way, that beset him and were causing problems for him. In any event, the Apostle Paul was suffering from a weakness which he had. something which beset him, and it was not the result of sin. It was. I want to make that clear, because the Apostle Paul was a very righteous man. In verse 8, concerning this thing I besought Yahweh three times, that it should depart from me. And he said, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of the Messiah may rest on me. Therefore I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for the Messiah's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And of course, that would, of course, summarize what this whole passage is about. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Yahweh does turn weakness into strength, and Paul knew this. Paul knew that the more he suffered and the more difficult it was for him to serve Yahweh, made his strength, his faith, that much stronger. The weakness that Paul speaks of is that of the flesh. Those times of physical weakness are many times meant to bring us spiritual strength. We can think of the example of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. There he wrestled with the angel all through the night. The angel finally wounded Jacob in his thigh, but even then he refused to let go until he got a blessing. Jacob, the heel grabber, became Israel, the one who rules with Elohim. Physical weakness was turned into spiritual strength. And so again, just as Paul, we have the example again in Genesis chapter 32, if you want to note that, starting with verse 24 down to the end of verse 32, we find that from that point on, his family helped him bear his physical burden. Jacob was a changed person. You know, when you look at the biblical characters, we many times look to see what point did they go, what point was it at which they were completely converted to the truth. In the case of Jacob the patriarch, that undoubtedly was the time when he wrestled with the angel. But again, as a result of wrestling and wanting that blessing, and many times as it was even with the Apostle Paul, Paul wrestled also as Jacob did in different ways. And he received a blessing from Yahweh. And of course, the blessing that we hope to receive, the ultimate blessing, is to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. The burdens that we bear are not meant to be borne alone. Those of Philadelphia, of course, the Philadelphia Assembly, the Assembly of Love, will prayerfully give support to those who suffer. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 6. Of course, Galatians chapter 6 is the final chapter of this book, which discusses the question of circumcision, showing that physical circumcision is not necessary, but the whole point of the book is that spiritual circumcision of the heart is what Yahweh is looking for. The burdens, again, that we bear are not meant to be borne alone, and that's what Paul makes that point here. In Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 1, brethren, even if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so it shows that, again, as we have seen in times past where individuals have strayed somewhat from the narrow pathway, that it should be the objective of those who are true Philadelphians, those who love the brethren, to try to help that person come back, not to drive them away. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of the Messiah. And of course, the law of the Messiah is none other than the law of Almighty Yahweh, because when you look in passages such as John chapter 14, the Messiah makes it very clear that his words and his teaching is that of Almighty Yahweh. We go on here with verse 3. And if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, we must not be a people who have arrogance within, but we must be humble. We must be always looking to others to help them and to do things for them even before ourselves, to be as Yahshua was. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glory in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor, for each man shall bear his own burden. And so on the one hand, we are to bear the burdens of others, but ultimately we bear our own burdens alone. Encouragement from the brethren, along with their prayers, can go a long way to ease the burden of those who need help. And that's something what this is supposed to be about. What we are involved in, as we've made the point many times before, is not a religion. It is a way of life. What we belong to is not, again, a religion. It is a family. It is a spiritual family. We are meant to encourage one another, to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. Again, recognizing that each of us has to bear their own burden themselves with certain things, but nevertheless to be there for one another. Those of Philadelphia take their spiritual responsibilities very seriously. They do all in their power to give aid and comfort to those in need, even if all they can do is to pray for that person. The love of Philadelphia is reflected in their act of faith. Let's go over to the book of James or Jacob, and we'll take a look at a few verses here, because this man who wrote this was the actual brother of Yahshua the Messiah, and he was the one that you read about over in Acts chapter 15, who recognized that the Holy Spirit had shown through what had happened to Peter in Acts chapter 10 and what had happened to Paul and Barnabas, that the Gentiles should be baptized into Yahshua's name without having to undergo physical circumcision. He understood that circumcision was of the heart, and so you can see that this man is a spiritual man. In Jacob chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you give them not the things necessary to the body, what does it profit?" In other words, action is necessary. "Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself." This is, in some ways, contrary to what is taught in nominal religion. When you look in nominal religion, of course, they'll tell you to have faith. And some of us, and myself included, at one time in my life, in my younger years as a young teenager, I was involved in a religious denomination which believed in being born again, getting saved. Well, of course, Nicodemus was told, you must be born, what, of water, which is baptism, and born of the Spirit. But there's more to it than just letting the Savior into your heart. And, of course, that is a process that is much involved. If a person has faith and believes that Yahshua is the Messiah, then they must believe that as the Messiah meaning the Anointed One of Yahweh, that He is the Word made flesh. Therefore, He is our example, and we are to follow that example, and we are to show that we believe that Yahshua is the Messiah by doing the good works that have been ordained in the Word of Yahweh, which is the keeping of the law. Knowing again, as the Scripture shows, as Paul pointed out on numerous occasions, that we do not earn our salvation, but we must prove our faith through our works. Again, verse 17, "Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Yes, a man will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I by my works will show you my faith.' You believe that Elohim is one," and of course that's what the Shema says. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. Even as it says here, even the demons believe that. You believe that Elohim is one, and you do well. The demons believe also and tremble. "But will you know, O vain man, that apart from work, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect." And so the two go together. Yes, this is a faith that we have. It means believing in something. But along with the believing goes action. And of course, those actions are what make it possible for us to have our weakness turned into strength. Truly, faith with the proper works is the key for receiving answers to prayers. Let's look over in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter, and we'll consider a few verses here just to clarify. concerning faith, because we want to make sure that we have a proper understanding of what our faith is about. Many times we are able to quote these things, but we don't have a full understanding of what is meant by them. The definition in verse 1, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. That's something that is difficult in some ways to understand. Assurance of things hoped for. Because we hope for certain things to be, for the kingdom to come, for instance, or in situations when we are weak in the flesh, and we look to Almighty Yahweh to give us strength. That is a way of exercising our faith, assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. We know Yahweh exists because the evidence is there all around us in this world, and because Yahweh has touched each one of us in many ways during our lives. For in it, the elders had witness borne to them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of Yahweh, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which appear. By faith Abel offered to Yahweh a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had borne witness to him that he was righteous, Yahweh bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it, he being dead yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see the death, and he was not found, because Elohim translated him. For he had witness borne to him, that before his translation he had been well-pleasing to Elohim. Now notice verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing. For he that comes to Yahweh must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. It is impossible to please Yahweh without faith, to be well-pleasing to him. And so again, we learn something of this faith. Faith is so very important. Faith is the key, again, to turn weakness into strength, believing, knowing that Yahweh has the power to do these things, and that he will do certain things for us as we continue to go before him in our weakness. Paul, again, remember what he said, that when he was his weakest is when he was his strongest, because it made him a more spiritual person. The closer we draw to the end of the age, the greater our faith will be tested. We must realize that all things are possible with Yahweh, and as such, we should never limit him or his power. As Philadelphians, it should be our goal to do all that is required of us to help others and ourselves. Let's quickly look over in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, as Yahshua discusses here with his disciples why they were unable to cause a certain person, a man, a child, to be delivered of demon possession. And he shows them that they need faith if they are to accomplish these things. Again, there is weakness in this person. And we look, and they are looking to Yahweh for strength. Matthew 17 and verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, there came to him a man, kneeling to him and saying, Master, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers grievously. For frequently he falls into the fire and often into water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. This is a very, very serious problem. Epilepsy is something that still occurs even in our day, and medical science has not been able to cure this. There are certain medications they can use to help. There are certain procedures which they can do, but they can't heal, as we'll see here. And Yahshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Yahshua rebuked him, and the demon went out of him, and the boy was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Yahshua and said, Why could not we cast it out? And he says to them, Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and shall say to this mountain, Remove from here to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind goes not out, but save by prayer and fasting. So in weakness, and when others, and again, as we see that Their point was to heal this individual. They had a concern for this young man, these things in his, for his father. And, of course, they would have laid hands on him, and through the name of Yahshua the Messiah, they would have said, this demon, this sickness be gone from you. And nothing happened. And Yahshua showed them that it was necessary at times for our faith to be strengthened, for our faith to, again, be tempered with works, good works. In this particular case, that of fasting, so that the demon would leave. All things are possible to him who believes. Through the Holy Spirit and faith with the proper works, Almighty Yahweh is able to turn weakness into strength. There is great wisdom to be learned by those who possess the pure faith from above. The strength turns weakness, or the strength turns weakness into strength, or that strength, the strength from Yahweh. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll conclude over here. Again, reading the words of the Apostle Paul, this man whose life experience was one which we can look at and gain a great deal of knowledge from. Yahweh's weakness, again, is stronger than the strength of men, is what he shows here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has Yahweh not made the wisdom of this world foolish? For seeing that in the wisdom of Elohim, the world, through its wisdom, did not know Yahweh, it was Yahweh's good pleasure, through the foolishness of the preaching, to save them that believe. Even to this day, a person of faith is looked upon as being someone foolish. Those who have faith, those who believe they'll be healed, those who look to Yahweh for the kingdom to come, those individuals who seek after righteousness many times are looked down upon because they are limited in their life, for instance, by keeping the Sabbath, the jobs that you can hold, by keeping the feast days, the dietary laws. These cramp the style of some people, and they say that's foolishness. Seeing that the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach the Messiah impaled, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, the Messiah is the power of Yahweh. Now that's a wondrous thing. In other words, in our weakness, in all that we would go through, there is power to be found. And that power comes from Almighty Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. And the wisdom of Yahweh, because the foolishness of Yahweh is wiser than men, and the weakness of Yahweh is stronger than men. For behold, your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but Yahweh chose the foolish things of the world, that he might put to shame them that are wise, and Yahweh chose the weak things of this world, that's you and I, weakness turned to strength, that he might put to shame the things that are strong, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised, did Yahweh choose, yes, and the things that are not, that he might bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory before Elohim, but of him are you in the Messiah Yahshua, who was made to us wisdom from Yahweh, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in Yahweh. And truly, that is where our strength comes from. We could consider the fact that the strength that we have physically, that we can't stop a bullet, for instance. It's going to go right through us. It's going to damage us. The people of this world have the weapons that they need to destroy Yahweh's people. The adversary has great power, and he has, in fact, according to Revelation 12, come down upon Yahweh's people with great wrath. And many of us have felt that wrath. But nevertheless, with the weakness and the things that we would suffer, there is strength to be found. We are able to become a more spiritually minded people. We are able to learn from these things. And though the people of the world would look at us and they would say, we are cursed, yet we know that Almighty Yahweh is turning a curse of this world into a blessing. And that blessing may come in this lifetime, or that blessing may only come in the kingdom that is to come when Yahshua returns. Everything happens for a reason. Weakness in the flesh gives us an opportunity to exercise our faith in Yahweh and Yahshua. Through the help given to us by Almighty Yahweh and His Holy Spirit, it is possible to turn weakness into strength. Our weakness also gives rise to Philadelphia, as the brethren give help and support to one another. As Paul showed, with the help and support of others, and by having faith, Yahweh's power can be made perfect in our weakness. Remember the suffering of Yahshua in the garden. Remember the suffering of the Apostle Paul. Remember how Jacob became Israel while wrestling with the angel. By remembering these people, we can better face our weaknesses and allow our weaknesses to be turned into strength. So may Yahweh bless each one. And again, let us consider the opportunities that Yahweh gives us and how He does truly turn curses into blessings and how He truly turns weakness into strength. May Yahweh bless you.